All right, men of LifeGate, we're starting a new series right now, Words from the Cross, where we get to hear Jesus speaking as he is on the cross for his last stage of life, those last few hours. And it's so important, I think, that we look at these words because each gospel records certain words, and Jesus spoke them out loud. So there's a reason why they were spoken out loud. And part of that is, I believe that we as the audience now need to hear what Jesus is saying. So for the next 5 weeks, we are going to be traveling down these words, looking at these words from the cross. And today, we are going to start with the very first words that tradition says Jesus spoke them. And that is, "Father, forgive them," from Luke 23. And to help us with our conversation today, we have an amazing individual with us, an amazing man of God, Ken Esser. Some of you guys might know Ken Esser. He attends Midtown. He's involved in the men's ministry down there. But even more than that, Ken is just an amazing guy. And part of the reason why I wanted Ken to record these words with us is because he has an amazing story of forgiveness in his own life that will just change your lives as you hear him speak of this. Ken, you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us, the guy, something about who you are, what you're doing now.
Sure. Thank you, Tim. Well, right now I'm actually working at the church. I work in the business office, and so I do all the money counting as donations and contributions come in. I've been at LifeGate Trinity here for almost 30 plus years. I've served as an elder here. My wife and I served as missionaries in Central Asia for 7 years. Prior to that, I was a UPS driver for 32 years. My wife also and I had a fairly successful divorce recovery ministry here at the church for about 6 or 7 years.
Fantastic. So we're looking at these words from the cross. And one thing I'm doing with each man, starting with you and going forward in these five podcasts, Ken, is I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes too. And unless you're driving down the road, go ahead and close your eyes as well. But I want you to just let your senses kick in, your taste, touch, smell, what you see. And I want you to place yourself at the foot of the cross right now. I want you to place yourself in that crowd, and I want you to tell me what you're experiencing there.
As I look at placing myself in that crowd, I know there's a bunch of people there, you know, because things like this draw a crowd, and there are a lot of people questioning what's happening and why would they do this to an innocent man. Mm-hmm. But there is probably a rabble rousing part of that were hurling insults at him, who were really questioning who he said he was, because if he truly was the Son of God, why is he hanging there on that cross? You know, if he really wasn't a criminal, why is he being crucified with other criminals? And honestly, I would probably tend to lean towards that, you know. Mm-hmm. I tend to be a crowd follower in some sense. So yeah, having not known the story, I mean, we do know how it all ends, but not if I was a total innocent passerby or walking by, I could probably very easily join that crowd.
That's good. We're going to get to that here shortly. But let's talk about who Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." Who is the them that Jesus is speaking to? I mean, the list certainly is massive as we look at it. We got the Roman soldiers, the crowds that are hurling the insults at him. Mm-hmm. You mentioned off mic, the disciples who fleed. Mm-hmm. Who else do you think Jesus might have in mind when he says,
Jesus
forgive them?
Jesus had enemies from the early days. I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because he disagreed with them theologically and in many ways. The high priests and the scribes who he said had put a burden on people that they weren't willing to help lift off, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a bit of a threat to their rule. And of course, and then I think being that Jesus was God, he could look down the corridors of time and see us as well as part of that crowd. Because again, I could have put myself in the crowd and believed what they believed very easily.
And we are certainly part of that them there. I just think of, everything that his body was already broken, what they tortured him, how they tortured him. Physically, he was spent. And then they start hurling these words at him. And I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verses 23 through 25. When they hurled their insults at him, here he is, it was already broken and bleeding and gasping for air on a cross, and they're still wanting to break him even more. Not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, whatever they can to wound him with words now. And I think about how words actually hurt us sometimes. And Jesus's response to that was not to call down a legion of angels, not to call down lightning from the sky to just destroy the crowds. But it was a cry of love. It was a prayer, really is what it was. He cried, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." I love what Philip Yancey says about forgiveness. He says, "Forgiveness is an unnatural act." And I look back on my life where I've been hurt and wounded, and I want to carry that with me. I want to carry that grudge. I want to call down the lightning. I want to be like Peter and take the sword out and do whatever I need to do to get retribution.
Right.
Because I think in that area and that aspect of responding likewise is the right thing to do. But Jesus teaches us something different in his unnatural response. He teaches us about love and how that is how our response is to be.
It's interesting that he addresses God as Father.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, I'd be calling on the Lord of hosts.
Oh, you know yeah.
What I mean? I'd be calling on the God of creation, the powerful one. But he chose, I believe, to call on his Father, who he was intimate with.
Abba.
And who, and as fathers, we're the first ones that would come to the defense of our children.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to be right there, and we'll lay down our lives for them. But he said, because he knew that the judgment of God was coming to earth for the people that did that. And he interceded for them. And says even now he sits at the Father's right hand and intercedes for us. Right. I believe he was entering into that ministry of intercession for them. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they're doing. And I don't believe he was excusing them.
No.
I don't believe he was excusing them. There was ignorance on their part. Soldiers were just doing what they're ordered to do. The crowds were just going along with the rest of the crowd, And there were those there that had an agenda as well against him. But he wasn't excusing them. He was calling for God to show mercy.
So if we can a little bit, let's... go a little bit deeper, a little bit personal in your life. I know you've shared many times before about an area in your life of forgiveness. And I think it would just be fantastic for the men listening to this to hear your story of forgiveness. Okay. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that.
Sure, I'll try to keep it short, but because it's all most of what transpired, I'm going to tell it's transpired over a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But 30-some years ago, I was just in my early 30s. I'd come home from work. I had 2 weeks' pay in my pocket because I was on vacation. It was a Friday night, and I was coming home and planning to do some traveling with my family, but I came home to an empty house. Couldn't find my wife. Couldn't find any of my 6 children. As I explored the house, I realized that drawers were pulled out of dressers and were left on the floor, and closets were empty. And, I really started to panic inside. I really didn't know what had happened. In a matter of a few hours with some calls and texts, we didn't text some calls to friends, I found out that my wife had run off with my best friend.
Oh,
that they had been having an ongoing affair for several years that I was totally ignorant of. We were neighbors. We lived right next door to each other. And he was also my pastor. And it was, I entered into probably the most... the hardest season of my of my life, because they had just disappeared. There was no finality to it. They had just disappeared, and it took us myself and the other man's wife days to find out where they had gone. And we traveled there and we confronted them, and they were not willing to come back. They were not willing to start over. And so over the course of the next year,
so you
year
wanted
plus,
to reconcile. Okay.
I thought we could work it out, but she was not willing. They okay. were not willing to work it out. And so kind of lived as a single married man for a year until the divorce was final. They did finally come back from where they'd run off to, and sort of semi tried to work it out, but you know, she was unwilling to get counseling. She okay. just wanted to kind of bury everything. And I wasn't willing to go there. I needed advice. I wanted to know what I did wrong too. Mm-hmm. You know, every conflict has two sides.
Yes.
And I needed to own my side as well. We were divorced, and right after the divorce, I found out that they were going to get married and they were going to move away again. And then, mm-hmm. and with the court system being the way it was, she was able to take my six children with her. And then I was limited to having them for a month in the summer. And I remember, it was just hard. So many losses, loss of trust of women, loss of stability, loss of income. I ended up paying over 50% of my income in child support, and it was just a hard time. But I knew from the beginning that if I was going to pick up the pieces, I really needed to hang on to God with all my heart.
Okay.
And in that process, he also nudged me to say, well, then we need to work on forgiveness issues. We need to work on what you need to be forgiven for, and we need to work on what you need to forgive. And I'm thinking, God, the list is too long. Yeah. It's bigger than I am. He said, yes, it is bigger than you are.
But I'm bigger than all that as well, is what God would say, yeah.
Yeah, it is bigger than you are. And I think when we enter into forgiveness issues, it really is bigger than we are. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally to us at all. Right. But I knew that I had done the hard work of forgiving and letting go. And it was work, and it took time. It took months to work through some of those issues with some very good counselors.
Let's look at Jesus' response here a little bit. Sorry to cut you off there. But we see that he didn't retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't respond anyway, mm-hmm. but Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we said was true, that he responded out of love.
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to respond with forgiveness? Did it come from a place of love? Did it come from a place of, man, I just need to release this? Mm-hmm. Or
I think it came from the fact that I knew that as I studied forgiveness, that I wrestled with it, that I realized that honestly, my forgiveness was tied to my willingness to forgive other people.
Okay.
And that if I was unwilling to forgive, if I wanted to carry a grudge, carry this unforgiveness, mm-hmm. then I am putting myself in danger of not being forgiven for my sins as well. But at the same time, God gives you a heart of mercy when you're willing to follow
so
him.
So good.
And, and a heart of mercy is basically, I don't need an explanation. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know all the details. Humanly, I did. Right. But to honestly, spiritually, to forgive, I didn't need to know that. I just need to know that I'd been offended. I'd been hurt. I'd had things taken from me, and I needed to release those things and experience the freedom that God has for us. I remember I was taking my boys, I had my girls for a month that summer, and I had my boys for a month. The divorce was final. They had already moved away, and I was going to have to take my three boys down to Central Florida, all the way from Nebraska, all the way to Central Florida, and drop them off. And I was honestly a little scared of how I would react when I got there, because I would be going to their home, and I'd be dropping off my precious little ones, and I wouldn't be seeing them for another year. I was going to lose that whole year with them, if you know what I mean. So I got there, and I was really surprised that my heart was at peace. And not only was it my heart at peace, but I was a little concerned for them because I thought, you know, my life's rough, but you know, what? Theirs isn't easy either.
Correct.
And I was kind of curious, what is this I'm feeling? It was really the mercy of God.
Okay.
You know, having concern for them, being concerned for their well-being as well as my own. And finally, you know, I just had to gather I had 3 boys, 3 girls. I had to gather them up, kiss them all goodbye, and drive away. And I got about a mile down the road where I just had to pull over, and I cried for a while, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I cried, and because I was experiencing another loss.
Yes.
And a loss is sad. And but then I wiped my eyes and got back on the road, and suddenly I knew that I was free. You know, I'd done the hard work of forgiving. Yeah. And had released that to God, and he set me free, because I didn't have to carry a grudge. I didn't have to be bitter. I didn't have to want to seek revenge. I could actually be concerned for their situation, and I knew that he had done it all. He had set me free. I could start life over, and it was going to be okay.
Thank you for sharing that. That is, it's just powerful to hear that, and to know that no matter how difficult our circumstances are, no matter what pain is caused, that there's something that is freeing when we make that choice.
Yes.
To say, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that forgiveness has to happen by minute, by day. Yeah. It's not just a one and done, is it?
No. Forgiveness is a lifestyle.
Yeah, so good.
Because the world offends us every day.
Yes.
You know, it really does, and we need to see forgiveness not as a one-time thing or just a couple times a year. Somebody bugs us, but no, it really is. It has to be a lifestyle.
All right. If you guys didn't write anything down in this podcast, write that. Forgiveness is a lifestyle, because there is so much truth to that. Mm-hmm. It is. So let's go back to the cross. Thank you again so much for being willing to share that. I want to get your thoughts a little bit more on what we're looking at with Jesus on the cross, and really look at why do you think that Jesus spoke these words out loud? I mean, sometimes when we pray, we keep it in our heart, but Jesus, it was verbalized, it was out loud. Any thoughts on what you think? Why he would have done that?
I think when we say things out loud, it's for a witness.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's for a witness. It becomes public. You are pleading with God.
Yes.
To forgive them. And also speaks of his own willingness to forgive.
Right.
You know.
How about we know? I mean, you what you said is spot on. But if he didn't say them out loud, how would the people know that they were forgiven?
Exactly.
He just said those words in his heart and that was it,
mm-hmm.
How would the people know?
And I would ask myself, how did those words of forgiveness affect the soldier after he had passed, when the one soldier is at the foot of the cross and said, surely this must have been the Son of God.
Right.
You know, because I don't know, I'm sure there were those that they crucified who cursed them to their last breath.
Yes. Just the impact of that, those words out loud is so good. So he said, Father, forgive them. But why was that forgiveness needed? If you look at the back part of that verse, mm-hmm. and Peter talks about this too, is for they do not know what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier, you mentioned that we're not excused of what we did.
Right.
We're forgiven of what
right.
we did.
Right.
And Peter goes on to say in this passage in 1 Peter 2, 23 through 25, that they hurled the insults at him. He did not retaliate,
mm-hmm.
which when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly.
Mm-hmm.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. But then he goes on to say, for you were like sheep going astray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I just can't help but think about the crowd there being like sheep who were led astray from the religious leaders, led astray from the mob that had formed and that were casting hurling these words at Jesus. What happens sometimes is that we are quick to follow. mm-hmm. instead of quick to lead. Mm-hmm. And like sheep, they would follow. Once sheep could walk off the cliff, the rest of them is going to keep walking and following. Right. So the sheep were led astray, and that's why they were forgiven. So I think about my own life. Are there areas where I have been led astray and maybe doubted God, maybe hurled insults at him? I know there's times when I haven't felt close to him, when I felt his absence and I was frustrated, mm-hmm. and I was like, fine, God, if you're not going to be there, I'm going to go my own way. I might not have hurled or cursed him, but in many ways I was no different than the crowd.
Right.
I wasn't getting my way. But there's sometimes a naiveness that we have within ourselves that causes us to respond in a way instead of knowing the true love of God. But then God speaks these words, Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. He speaks them out loud so that we know that we are forgiven.
And again, I believe it's God's first expression of mercy. I mean, they lived in an environment and a time of history where judgment was everything. And
yes.
Rome, you know, obviously, you know, dealt harshly
yes.
with disobedience, and there was judgment. But I believe when Jesus spoke those words, mercy in many ways really entered the world at that time. My thoughts turn to James chapter 2, verse 13,
okay.
where James said, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment."
Yes.
And again, it brings us back to the fact that, you know, our forgiveness is tied to our willingness to forgive. You know, if we demand justice, which is, it's part of our human nature, to set things right, to balance the scales, you know. And what Jesus was basically saying there is, there's only one that can really balance the scales.
Right.
And that is God, the eternal judge. And when we show mercy, we step out of the way and let God be the judge.
So good.
And because I believe when we hold grudges, and when we hold, you know, we want revenge, we're standing in God's way, because that's really his job. We want to take his place.
Yeah.
We want our pound of flesh.
Absolutely.
Way, you know.
We want somebody to suffer like we did.
Right.
But we're called to imitate.
Exactly.
We're Jesus.
Called to imitate. And and I think a lot of people, maybe the first taste of mercy that most people will experience is when we do forgive them.
Yes. So
we
true.
Show them mercy.
And that's what we're called to do.
That's what we're called to do.
So, man, we are called to be like King Jesus, like our Savior Jesus, who cried and prayed from a cross, Father, forgive them. And that's what we need to do as well. We do have some questions for you guys as you wrap up and go into your table time. Philip Yancey wrote, forgiveness is an unnatural act. Do you agree with this or disagree with this statement? Why? When in your life have you needed to hear the words, Father, forgive them? Ken had to share those words with his ex-wife, and just couldn't imagine that step. But, where in your life have you needed to hear the words, Father, forgive them, for something that you have done wrong? And take a moment to think about a time in your life when you have been wronged. Are you willing to be a man who imitates Jesus and pray, Father, forgive them? We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We hope you have great discussions, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Any parting words, Ken?
No, thank you for letting me take part.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.